Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hello, I'm Dr. Wanda Tisby-Kuzar, and I want to welcome all our listeners to New Cyber Frontier. Today I have a special guest that we are interviewing. Her name is Gigi. And Gigi is from the company OMPI. And she is the CEO of the company. She is located in Cupertino, California. She's been in the tech industry for 20 years. And she began as a software engineer. And I'd like to turn it over to Gigi and to elaborate a little bit more on her background for us.
Thanks, Wanda. Thanks for having me here today. I think you pretty much touched the entire background, the sum total of my experience. I'm also an alumni of Virginia Tech and Clemson, so my educational background is mathematics and computer science. And of course, like you said, spent a lot of time in the tech industry, most of it here in Silicon Valley, at companies like HP, Apple, IBM, etc. Started out as a software engineer, like you mentioned, but then over the years, you know, got farther away from actual programming and coding and things like that, and went into more of the management aspects of such things.
Fantastic. So, Gigi, tell us what you see as the biggest industry problem in cybersecurity.
Biggest industry problem in cybersecurity from my perspective, and you know, it's just my two cents worth based on my personal experiences, is that there's a common thread of an artificial line drawn between what are the issues that should be addressed from a cybersecurity perspective in big companies, corporations, governments, et cetera, and how they protect their employees from threats. And then the same people walk out the building and then they are in their private lives with their potentially different devices and in another context, but they're still equally vulnerable and they're not always protected there. So even among tech savvy people, I have seen, and I'm including myself in that, a vast amount of ignorance, for the lack of a better word, on a variety of issues that affect us every day, but we're just not completely aware of how they're affecting us or how we're getting, you know, our accounts getting breached, hacked, etc.
Okay, fantastic. So I'm going to move to asking you to consider the largest concerns or risk as you do business with other companies.
So speaking to the earlier point, this artificial line between we have our business systems and we're protecting them, and then we may or may not have high value employees who are being protected once they're outside of the perimeter, once they're outside the premise. And also to add to that is a consumer security. So you have users, you have customers that are working with your business, and they are using some systems, using networks, using whatever, that's making them vulnerable. And that is also going to indirectly affect you sooner or later, or sometimes even more directly. So looking at I think the biggest concern is the security is being looked at through the lens of individual perspectives, but the issue is connected, it's holistic. Mm. So one problem in one end of the ecosystem can infect or affect another part of the ecosystem.
Okay, very good. You know what I think about Gigi, how you describe that? It's not an individual problem that we look through individual lens, but it's more holistic and connected. Would that have anything to do with like systems theory or systems processing? Looking at the whole ecosystem, elaborate on that a little bit for me.
Sure. So I'll give you an example. And I speak not just because I have this startup that I'm working on, mm-hmm. but I speak from the perspective of I was a victim myself. That's how I researched all this. So typical software engineers, people with typical software engineering background or even masters in math or PhD in math, do not are not used to these issues or do not understand these issues. You really have to be an InfoSec person to know these things. But an example is, as I was, and I won't spend too much time on what happened to me, but at a high level, what happened to me was, there was someone who was trying to like attack all my systems, whatever. As a result of that, I've had patent theft, I've had identity theft beyond just your credit cards, getting stolen or whatever, and accounts getting breached, and fanning out from their personal identifiable information, getting out there, getting doxxed. I'm getting calls from rental companies in Chicago saying, hey, you rented this car and your phone number's on it, and where's the car? And I'm like, I never did this. And I find out it's some person wanted by law who's used my phone number. It's like it just went into ridiculous places, right?
I'm going to have you hold that thought, and we're going to come back. We're going to take a break for a sponsor break. Don't go away.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Okay, we're back, Gigi. And again, we're holding an interview with Gigi of OwnPy, and she is the CEO of her company, and she's in Silicon Valley. Gigi, we were elaborating on what happened to you that kind of drove your goals for starting your own company.
Right.
Let's continue.
And so the point I was trying to make was that even though I'm steeped in technology and others like me, we're kind of ignorant of some very critical things that happen in cybersecurity day by day. So in my specific case, given all these symptoms, I started investigating why this was happening and how this was happening. And I think the how part is very interesting to this podcast, is relevant to this podcast. Mm-hmm. So as I started digging deeper into how are they breaking into this? How are they doing this? How are they doing that? One of the big aha moments for me personally, it's not news, but it's news to many people in tech, is that networks themselves that we rely on as individual consumers, not enterprise users, but individual consumers, your cell phone, your cellular network, that can get very easily hacked, for example. So that's one example where your phone is just using protocols today where it connects to whichever is the strongest signal tower in your neighborhood. And the way it works today is it'll connect to it. If it's your provider, your provider's tower, it'll say, hey, you're my subscriber, I'm gonna let you stay. If it's not your provider's tower, if it's some other legitimate provider's tower, they're gonna say, hey, you don't have a plan with me, I'm gonna kick you out. That's great, but there's a third kind of towers, and they are called fake towers or spoof towers or whatever. And what they do is, this is where the maliciousness or the issues start, where they can grab your connection. They can degrade your connection from LTE to 3G or whatever, so lower the encryption level. It can tell your phone, hey, I don't understand encryption, send me data unencrypted. And now, voila, it doesn't matter how great your password is, doesn't matter you have two-factor authentication, doesn't matter what you do. Whatever you do on your phone becomes an open book to these people. You take this further, they can use this to launch man in the middle type of attacks where all your requests are going to that tower. That tower's then deciding whether to forward on your cellular request, like I want to connect to Gmail or whatever, to that server or do something else with it. Basically, they just have full control of your phone at that point. Now, not many people, I was amazed when I found out. I thought, hey, everyone must know this. I'm the idiot who doesn't know this. So I started doing research. And throughout the years, people have been talking about it, and then it's gone away. And they're talking about it, and it's gone away. So there is not a permanent sort of understanding among users that this is a very likely scenario. This can happen to you. This is a thing that you have to worry about. This is partly because, and this is the most controversial thing in my startup, because I want to solve this problem if possible. The problem is that this is also the tech that the government uses to spy on terror suspects and other people. So I understand that. However, the way it's done today, and if you research, you'll find this, Mother Jones, other media have, Bloomberg, everyone's talked about this before. Today, now with a $1,000 budget, people can build their own kits like this. So it's one thing, okay, let's say we trust the government and we say, okay, everything's fine. They'll only do this if they think someone's bad. But then we have anybody now, almost anybody can be doing this to your connectivity, to you. And we have absolutely nothing from a technology standpoint and even from a policy standpoint from the government to protect us from these people that might be launching these kind of attacks. I got this all this through research, and I said, is this real? Am I like not understanding? So I even had an opportunity to talk to a engineering manager at Samsung one time. I bumped into him somewhere in an airport and started talking about this. And he said, yes, this is true. This is actually valid. And he said, now they have a protocol that can protect you where you have a dual authentication where your phone connects to a tower, tower authenticates your phone authenticates tower, but those SIM cards are not widely available to all and sundry. You have to be, you know, like high value government, whatever. So this is an issue and it needs to be solved. And 99% of my peers had no idea. To them, this was like, wow. And I'm like, wait, if I thought I was at, you know, the person who knew the least about these things. And this is an example of things that people are not aware of. And how often do you use your phone? You go all over. Everybody knows not to log into, you know, public Wi-Fi and use VPN. Okay, we got that. How often do you think about, how often do you look at your phone and go, hey, you know, suddenly I'm getting 3G instead of LTE and is something else happening? And what do you have on your phone? Are you worried about that? So that's an example.
Wow, that's pretty frightening. Can you tell us what employment experience has shaped your business's core values?
Okay. So I worked, I worked many years at HP, at HP.com. And the HP way, everybody's aware of the HP way and, you know, how they expect people to work together, et cetera. A high level of integrity was always called on. Not fudging around an issue, but like kind of talking directly about whatever the problems are and then trying to figure out the right solutions for that. That's a core value I think I took from my experience at HP, for example. All my employment so far, even though if I was not writing code in that particular job or not being an engineer, was still very technical. So very much called upon to look, to act on data, not on emotions, to question yourself as well, and then act on data and actually prove out things before, you know, not jumping to conclusions, trying to get to the right end. So I think that I hadn't thought about it too much, but those two come to mind.
Okay, excellent. Can you elaborate on any sustainability goals that you have in your company?
Well, right now it's very early stage, so I don't think we're affecting it from a scale perspective. Okay. But things that come to mind that I've seen large companies look into is really kind of pull the cover on, look under the cover of what your footprint is and how you're using things. So people are talking about server modifications they've done to consume less energy. I've read somewhere metrics about, this is, by the way, one of my inside interests, green tech and all that. So people had talked about the carbon footprint of a Google search. It's kind of interesting. I myself worked on something in my community in Cupertino where we got, you know, people in apartment complexes to compost, which was a new thing, and now it's being taken up by the whole city. But the thing that I try to apply again to all of these is to really like understand the numbers, because sometimes it's greening versus green, so you really want to understand what you're doing is having a proper effect on it. So as a rule of thumb, just like you apply security to everything, you should probably apply sustainability principles to everything to say, hey, now that I understand what needs to happen, can we do this in a less energy consuming way?
Okay. Can you share with us what qualities someone should have entering this industry in general, and then elaborate on what advice you could give to women entering this industry?
So I want to caveat everything by saying I consider myself a newcomer in this industry. So just my two cents perspective again. Okay. But from my personal experience, I think having being persistent is very important. Mm-hmm. Being data-driven is very important. Being observant is very important.
And we're going to pause, and I'm going to come right back. Hold that thought for a sponsor break. Okay, we're back with Gigi. Gigi, this is a very interesting interview with Ombai, and she is CEO. And I would like you to continue with our question, what advice you have for those who are looking at entering the industry with an emphasis on women coming into the industry.
So the good news is, from everything I read, there is a huge shortage in this industry. So the good news is lots of people are needed. I have come across many training classes and educational sort of offerings that bring a person up to speed really quickly. There is a large body of knowledge to leverage, and you can quickly learn from that and get into specific roles as may interest you. There is a less chance of, from that perspective, a less chance of prejudice, because there is a huge vacancy list. There's a lot of people that are just not in this industry and are needed. So that's my advice. If they're really interested, they should try some of these training classes, which are very hands-on. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of gives you a feel for the industry as well, and then helps you understand if this is something that you like to do and something that is, that interests you. From an environment standpoint, a work environment standpoint, I can't speak to it too much. I know there's a lot of old ideas and traditional, thoughts, etc. And not that I have one-on-one on the security side, but based on everything else that I worked in the past 20 years, I know that usually that means it's a harder barrier sometimes. But then to counter that, we see every day, I'm on so many lists which tell me, this was breached, that happened, this happened, this violation, blah, 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 upgrade this, upgrade that. That alone tells me that so much is happening that there is going to be an interest in just coming up with new ideas where needed and just sorting through this, because this is a field where the value is obvious. You don't have to spend too much time saying why we need to do this. This should be crystal clear to everyone. And if people just saw how many things were happening and how much needs to be done, that should alleviate any of the other issues with the barrier to entry.
Okay. With that said, can you elaborate on any short or long range goals that you might have?
Yes. So right now I'm working sort of in stealth mode with my startup. I mentioned one issue that I'm very interested in looking to see how solvable it is with hardware and software. My approach is the intellectual property first. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing that. This is why I'm working by myself to some degree. And then there's another couple of goals. There's like three use cases that I'm starting out looking at. And the goal is to have an offering that a person can then use without having to know too much about anything. So yeah. It's kind of like the antivirus plan, but expanded goal in terms of what it does and how it protects you online.
Fantastic. I'm getting excited just listening to you talking about how you're going to come up with a product that's simplistic for those of us, as they say, are not internet savvy, internet for dummies or cybersecurity for dummies. And how do you propose this will benefit your customer?
So I looked at it in many different ways. I've been mentally like segmenting the population. So other than InfoSec professionals, of whom we have very few of, everybody else is sort of in the same bucket, whether they realize it or not. There are people who know a little bit here and there. They may be technical like me, but they don't really understand the whole thing. So it becomes a question of time. Every day there are new ways of reaching into things. You got the malware covered. You can download anti-malware. They work very well. They do a bunch of stuff. But when you talk about network security, even password managers, some people are using them, some people are not. Even with the ones you have, there are some issues with some, you know, with some of them. So there's an open area. And then there are all kinds of things that are happening every day, and people are just not aware of it. So they don't have time. Even if they have the ability, they're not going to have time to keep up with all this. The value add of having a product like this is that it keeps up for you and it will provide you some kind of safety as you're going through your typical use cases online. Because it's like the car analogy, right? You don't need to know everything about how the combustion engine works to drive a car. The user interface has been created such that you can be reasonably competent driving your car and not worry about things. That's what we need for our smartphones, and that's what we need for our desktops. Even though manufacturers are doing a great job of it, the moment you go on the network, you're kind of exposed. That's sort of my perspective.
Okay. Will there be, my thought as you were sharing the value add of this product to keep it simplistic for those who may not be tech savvy, is will there be any continuing requirements for service?
Yes. So if you mean by continuing requirements, as in this is not like you drop the product and you're done.
Right. Absolutely.
Because it's a moving target, the solution has to be moving as well. Absolutely.
Okay.
Excellent. That's part of the value add.
Okay. And I'd like to ask you, are you looking towards any kinds of internships for like entry level candidates in your particular area in your
long
range
plan? Immediately. My immediate goals are to get this aligned where it's in the patented area.
Okay.
Small startup needs some protection. And then I haven't even applied for funding yet. So once I get that and I can prove that, look, this is a good product market fit, that's where this conversation becomes valid, because then at that point, you know, it's a matter of scaling, turning around.
Okay. So I just like to, you know, quickly highlight some points in the event you'd like to add to. I really liked your, when you elaborated on your focusing on intellectual property for obvious reasons, because I'm in academia. And there's a huge need for a body of knowledge, and a huge opportunity because there's a huge vacancy list. The classes are hands-on. It's not an area where one should feel intimidated, but they do need to understand why they're interested in this area and perhaps why they could be successful. Some of your core values, based on your work experience, have been from your affiliation with Hewlett-Packard, and you have a high level in integrity, which is a big issue today in the area of business ethics, particularly for people who are leading, and particularly for those who are entrepreneurial, like yourself. And you advise others to look at what their footprint is and understand the numbers, because that's very, very important, so they know the impact they're having on sustainability. So with that said, I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell us how our listening audience can get in contact with you for your services.
Great. So it's early, but we always welcome people signing on. So there's a sign-up sheet on ohmpye.com. And we do not share, I do not share your contact information with anybody. It's only used to keep you up to date. If you sign up for a newsletter, we'll keep you up to date periodically. And then as we hit inflection points, as we have things, beta tests, etc., we will be, you know, sharing that with you so you can be with us on this journey, because I really want to test it with actual people rather than say I'm on the mountain and I have something for all of you. We just really have to work together and solve this.
Fantastic. Well, with that said, I'd like to thank you, Gigi. This was a very enlightening interview, and we'll be seeing you around soon.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.